a new topic for today. Again, each day is a new topic. So, we're staying within the realm of Shabbos and of the mitzvah of Shabbos, except this time we're going to branch out just a bit. We're not going to talk about Havdalah, but rather just a particular shaila that comes up very often. Unfortunately, it does not come up right now during this coronavirus epidemic, and that is inviting non-Shomrei Torah mitzvos to a Su'udas Shabbos when you have the knowledge that they're going to arrive through Chilul Shabbos. So it's a fascinating topic just because it really touches upon the broader topic of Lifnei Iver, and there's such diversity among Gedolei HaPoskim. You would think this would have been figured out a long time ago, and that there's some sort of either that Gedolei HaPoskim would disagree or just following earlier generations, or that that something would have been figured out by now in terms of a standard. But we find in contemporary Poskim from the 20th century that have very divergent views on this this topic. So there are two ways one could approach a topic like this. One way is to just go through the issue by issue, Lifnei Iver, Mesis, and then discuss as you go through issue by issue what each posek has to say about it. The other way is to go through posek by posek. So I'm gonna do the second way, to go through posek by posek, just to see how, given a clean slate to attack this sugya, what were the different ways that the Gedolei HaPoskim thought about this sugya, and then of course, if we have time, to get through some of the etzos that were given to avoid any question of doing something wrong. So again, the shaila is inviting non-religious Jews for parts of Shabbos or Yantif, where you know that they're in all likelihood they're going to drive to get there, they're going to drive a car to get there, they're going to be Mechal Shabbos or Mechal Yantif in order to participate in the Suda. So Rosh Verishon of the Gedolei HaPoskim, who takes a stand, and it's a pretty extreme stand on this topic, is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Igros Moshe Arachayim Chelik Aleph Simon Tzadiches. So it's pretty yadua that Rav Moshe had a sheet on this, and it's pretty yadua that it was a pretty strong sheet on this. I think what people don't realize is that he wasn't really speaking about someone who was invited for a Shabbos meal. Rav Moshe Shaila was about running like a youth minyan, where all the parents were going to drop off the children by driving them to the shul on Shabbos, meaning you had such a, it wasn't uncommon in America in the 1950s that you had people from non-Shomer Shabbos homes who were officially Orthodox. They affiliated Orthodox, and they were teetering on the brink of Orthodoxy and Conservative Judaism, and the Orthodox schools were trying to offer programming to reach out to the next generation. They were often unsuccessful in reaching out to the adults, so they were trying to reach out to the children. So they wanted to know, can they run such a minyan or such a tefillah, where the whole thing is for the sake of chinuch of the children, and you know that they're going to be brought there al yedei chilul Shabbos. So Rav Moshe writes, Pashru barur sha'aser af l'ktanim shein b'nei mitzvah. He says, I don't care if they're under bar mitzvah, it's aser anyway. And he explains, D'chi chinuch tefila adav mechinuch mitzvah Shabbos? You have two options over here. You could either be mechanech properly in tefila, or you could be mechanech properly in Shabbos by saying, look, we'd love to have you, but we can't. You know, chil Shabbos is just too big a deal. So chinuch tefila is not greater than chinuch for Shabbos. V'gam ha'u k'mitzuvim v'yosim lovel l'spal ba'minyin af bov v'sheichal l'Shabbos. And by advertising it and encouraging them to come, you're encouraging Chil Shabbos. V'lchein v'adei chas v'sholom l'haskim l'davar kazeh, shu lo l'chaneich l'mitzvos ala adrab l'chanchum l'hipuch chas v'sholom. He says, this is not something we could ever sign our names to, and not only is it not chinuch for mitzvos, it's chinuch for the opposite. It's chinuch for Chil Shabbos. V'ma balabatim lo yishmu v'yiskinu aminyin, shu adrab kilkul v'avar al das, b'yisr Shabbos achamura. And if the balabatim aren't going to listen, they're going to have this minyan anyway. He was writing the tshuva to the rabbi of the shul, obviously. So the Baal Batim aren't going to listen to you, and they say, no, we have to be relevant, and we have to have such a minyan. And you're not able to, you have no say in your shul against the board of your shul. I don't know what else you could do. Meaning, you're telling me you're powerless. Okay, so you're powerless, but, so I don't know what you want from me. hafer ze avada yichayv la hafer ze levatel sabin yishgar mechil Shabbos. He says, but here's what you can do. What you can do is constantly talk about the value of Shabbos and always be on the lookout. And this is just wise words always. Whenever there's a very difficult situation where it seems that halacha compromises are being made, be on the lookout for an eitzah. Very often there's an eitzah or an eitzah can come up. There's a possibility that you have for how to solve the situation. Try your best to always, don't just like accept it, that, oh, this is what we do and therefore it's going to remain that way because I'm powerless to stop it. Always be thinking of an eitzah. Ubevadei calls man shiyah minyan. He says, as long as that minion is there, you should speak dafka im kol echad mehayiladim biyichud. Sheyvo beregel. Try to speak to the children. The parents won't listen to you. Speak to the children. Inspire them. Tell them what schar they would get if they would walk to shul. Ulai yawil zela echad mehem. He said, you're not going to be totally successful, but you never know. You never know what just one suggestion to one child, what kind of impact that's going to have. Kizel mitzvah tochcha v'limud. He said, that's the mitzvah of tochcha. That's the mitzvah of being melami children. That happens to be, for those of you who are going into chinuch, just a suggestion sometimes can have a tremendous impact. I can't tell you how many times, a Rebbe will hear from a Talmud years later, you once mentioned that we should, whatever the suggestion might be. I once had someone, I don't even remember where I mentioned it, not talk in your tefillin. I don't know, I talk in my tefillin, but not talk in your tefillin. And I don't know what context I mentioned it in, probably, it happens to be from my bar mitzvah until I started teaching, I didn't talk in my tefillin. Once I started teaching, I had no choice. But, and a kid told me that it's been 15 years, I haven't spoken a word of Sichas Chulin in my tefillin. Well, I never told him to do that, but you just mentioned certain things, and you never know what people grab onto, like when they feel that you're talking to them. So Moshe says, talk to all the children. For many of them, you'll feel like it's a brach levatali. You'll feel like it's a waste of time. But you never know. For a couple of them, they might build families one day that are Shomrei Shabbos and that B'nai Torah because of that suggestion. So and that's your obligation, he says, as the rabbi. So clearly Rav Moshe holds that it is a mistaken chinuch. Rav Moshe then, in the very next tshuva, relating to a rabbi who wanted to invite Jews who live very far away from a shul to come to the shul on Shabbos, writes that if the only way they can get there is through Chilul Shabbos, it's not Lifnei Iver, it's much worse than Lifnei Iver, says Rav Moshe. It's a violation of Mesis L'Chilul Shabbos. You are enticing them and causing them to be Mechalel Shabbos, meaning it's worse. Lifnei Iver is, I'm enabling the Avera. Mesis is, I'm encouraging the Avera. I'm enticing the person to do the Avera. You are a Mesis, says Rav Moshe. And we'll get more into what that means exactly and what the great Chiddush of Rav Moshe is in that line in just a moment. But he says, if it's a situation where they live close to the shul and they're able to walk and they just choose to drive, then I'll be makel. Then you're not a mesis, you're just in violation of Lifnei Iver. So he's not really makel. Meaning that then I'm going to tell you you're not as big of a rasha as you would be if you're encouraging people who live too far away from the shul to even possibly walk. So let's discuss what Rav Moshe Shita is, what the Chiddush is, and what there is makom ladun bidvarav. You know that there's what to discuss within Shitas Rav Moshe. What's this parsha of Mesis? So we're familiar. The Torah tells us ki yisischa chicha ben imecha. You know, yeshiva bachrim know this pasuk because it's the source of the Yisr of Yichud min haTorah. But before it was the source of the Yisr of Yichud, it was a pasuk in the Torah about Mesis. So ki yisischa chicha ben imecha ovincha ovitcha oeshes chekecha oreacha shakanavshcha b'seis olemar nelcha v'navda Elohim acherim. Someone close to you, someone that you have a relationship with, is going to say, you know, all the cool kids are worshipping Avodah Zarah, you should come worship Avodah Zarah with me. Sometimes it's everyone else around us is doing this, so you should do it too. And sometimes the enticement is not that everyone around us is doing it, is that it's somewhere, you know, it seems exotic. It's from somewhere far away. You know, this is all the new age worship in China now. So this is, well, China's maybe better bad example. No one wants to be like the Chinese right now, but you know, this is like the new age way of worshiping in whatever location. The Torah has such strong lashon about how to deal with such a person who is maces you to avodah zarah. You don't listen to him. You don't have any rachmanos on him. You don't try to make excuses for him. Ki harok targenu yadcha tiabo barishona la'miso v'yad kolam b'achrona. You should be the first one when he's chayv misa. You should be the first one to kill him. How does he die? Uskalto ba'avan v'meis ki bikeish la'adicha chomei al Hashem elokecha hamotziach chomei eretz mitzrayim ibeis avadim. It's skila because he tried to distract us from our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and cause us to abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kol Yisrael Yishmu v'yiron v'lo yusifu lasus kadavar ha-ra'azeh b'kirbecha. And this is one of the places where the Torah says, and this should serve as a lesson to everybody, that this is what happens to a person who, it's not bad enough that he's a sinner, but he's a chote umachti. He tries to get others to worship Avodah Zarah as well. So very, very strong words about Emesis. He's chayev skila. Particular mitzvah in the Torah of lo sachmo v'lo schasolav. And based on that, the Gemara in Sanhedrin daf chav tesam et alav tells us, Amr of Shmuel bar Nachman, Amr of Yonasan, minayin she'ein ton in the Mesis. How do I know that we don't make a taina for the Mesis? Meaning maybe the Mesis has some sort of defense that he just didn't hire a good enough lawyer to teach him what the proper defenses are, what he can say in his own defense. And we can think of something that he's not thinking of as a defense for his behavior. How do I know we do not offer any taina on behalf of the Mesis? Says Gemara, minachash hakadmoni. It's from the story of Adam and Chava and the Nachash. Dam Rabbi Simlai, harbe tainos hayilo l'nachash liton v'lotan. The Nachash could have said a lot of things to get himself out of his situation of being chay of this terrible curse that he suffers for the rest of eternity. Umnei ma lo ta'an lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why didn't Hashem make the taina for him? L'fisha lo ta'an who? Because he didn't make the taina. So it says, well, my havel lemeimer. What would that taina have been? I mean, the Nachash had an excuse for his behavior, for causing Adam to eat from the causing Chavra to eat from the Eitz Hadas. What could he have done? So says the Gemara, divrei Rav and divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomin, divrei Rav Shomin. He could have said, well, there was a clear directive from Kadosh Baruch Hu not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Some silly little Nachash comes and tells you to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Why would you listen to the silly little Nachash? You should listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomin. Now, those familiar with the sugya of Ein Shlichus Advar Aveira are very familiar with this phrase, divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomin, and the discussion in the Rishonim what that really means. Meaning, why is that a good excuse? Why does that make Ein Shliach Lidvar Aveira? So one possibility is that I didn't think he would listen. I didn't think that, meaning I was just joking, you know, I was saying things, but it never occurred to me that he would listen. The other possibility is it occurred to me that he would listen, but he's a fool for doing it, you know, he shouldn't have listened. So it's his fault, it's not my fault. From the Nachash perspective, his taina to be Potter seems like, why in the world would he listen to me? So now, the reason that it's important to keep that sugi in mind when discussing Mesis is that that's Rav Moshe's Ikar Raya that we can apply Mesis over here. Meaning, the Torah, when it describes a Mesis, clearly only talks about someone who's Mesis Avodah Zarah, someone who tries to cause you to do Avodah Zarah. Yet, Rav Moshe says, you're not asking anyone to do Avodah Zarah in our case. You're inviting someone to come drive to Shul on Shabbos. Someone to come to Shul on Shabbos and they're going to drive on Shabbos. That's Chil Shabbos, not Avodah Zarah. And Rav Moshe is willing to say that that's a Mesis. So says Rav Moshe, apparently, if people live close enough to Shul where they're able to go by foot, or if you only let them know or you don't invite them, that wouldn't be an Isser Mesis. But there is a Din Mesis by Shari Surim, by Shabbos, if they live far enough away. Now that idea that Rav Moshe writes, that there's a Din of Mesis by Shari Surim, he wasn't the first one to suggest that. The Chavos Yair in the Tshuva and Simkuv Samach Vav asks, why does the Gemara need to learn Ein Ta'an L'Mesis from the Pasuk by the Nachash? The Gemara already learned Ein Ta'an L'Mesis from Lo Sachmo V'lo Schasa Lav. So he explains that there's a difference between the Meisas and Dine Adam, that we're not Mahapich B'Zechuso, that Beis Din is Ein Tal on the Meisas, and the Pasuk by the Nachash HaKadmoni tells us that a Meisas that's Meisas for other Averos, which are not Avodah Zarah, and even if the whole Din is B'dinei Shamayim, and you would think he'd be Patur Legamri if he would tie in a Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomim, because that's B'dinei Shamayim, but even that Ein Tal on the Meisas. So you already see that there is this notion based on that Gemara that ain't on in the Mesis, or the very concept of Mesis applies to Shari Surim. Problem is, it seems that Rishonim already dealt with this issue. The Tosfos Shants and the Gemara in Sanhedrin over there, Daf Chavtes, and Dibra Maslaminayin, asks, why is the Nachash called a Mesis? The Shem Mesis in the Torah is only for Avodah Zarah. The Nachash shouldn't be labeled a Mesis. And Tosfos Shants says, since the Nachash didn't just say, eat from the Eitz Hadas, he was more specific. V'yisem kelokim yodei tov v'ra. You're going to be like Hashem. You're going to be a god. Yodei tov v'ra. So that's a Meisas Lavo Dezara. I mean, it's not that the Nachash was Shari Surim. The Nachash was Meisas Lavo Dezara. So clearly, Tos Shantz understands that the only way the Nachash could be labeled a Meisas is if he's being Meisas Lavo Dezara. If he's being Meisas for anything else, then he's not a Meisas. That entire terminology is reserved for someone who worships Avodah Zarah. And Tosos over there also, it seems clear that the Nachash would have a din of a Mesos Avodah Zarah. Because Tosos asks, how could it be that the Nachash would be Potter with the Tain of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin? Isn't every single case of Mesos Avodah Zarah, wouldn't every Mesos have the same Taina? Meaning, we're going to say, oh, the Nachash had an excuse. He could have gotten out of the punishment. How? Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin. So the Gemara just gave it away. Every Mesis, for the rest of history, will always be able to become Pater. All you got to know is, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin. The Gemara called it a good Taina. So now you'll always have the Taina. So Tosfos says, that's ridiculous. There's a Parsha of Mesis. How can it be that every Mesis can get out of it? That Taina is not unique to the Nachash. That Taina is for everybody. So Tosfos suggests that the Nachash was not nitztaven not to be Mesis. So the onesh of the Nachash was only because a takala was ba'al yado. So that he could have responded, don't punish me for the takala, because they should have listened to the Divrei Rav. But everyone else was mitzuva not to be Mesis, because it says it in the Torah. So we're being nanash, a person who's Mesis being nanash on the etzem asasa. So even if he tainas that the guy shouldn't have listened to me, but you have a mitzvah in the Torah, an issur in the Torah, don't be Mesis. The Nachash just happens to be, was a Mesis. He caused other people to do averos. So you see that he compares Mesis of the Nachash to Mesis of Avodah Zarah, and his only chilik is that Mesis is Eino Mitzuva. Could one connect this to the position, let's see what the question was here. Could one connect this to the position of the Rambam, that a city which does any Avera, Lahachas, Biad Rama, has the din of an Irin Dachas, such that any Avera, Lahachas, is kind, that's a typo, but kind of is kind of, okay, Avodah Zarah. We'll get to that also, right? Meaning that could be the discussion. Now we haven't yet seen that. I mean, Tos Shan says it was Mamash Avodah Zarah, that it was you will be like God, and that's Avodah Zarah. But maybe there's something more to it. So we'll get to that as well. So apparently, Rov Rishonim have the same kasha that Tos Shan's have, but they don't give the Tos Shan's answer. So it must be that they hold that there was no Isra Avodah Zarah by the Nachash HaKadmoni. Tosfos Chachmei Anglia over there in Dibra Maschil Mipnei suggests that the Limud is a Kal V'chomer, that if the Nachash, who is not Mesis Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Mahapich B'Zechuso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Toen Lo, so Kolshkin, someone who's Mesis Avodah Zarah, is more Chomer, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be Mahapich B'Zechuso. So you see, Tosfos Chachmei Anglia clearly understand that there's a din of Ein Tal on the Mesis, even when it's not Avodah Zarah. His whole Yesod is that it's Kal V'chomer. If the Nachash was a non-Avodah Zarah situation, and we apply the rules of Mesis, Kal V'chomer in a real Avodah Zarah situation, we're going to apply the rules of Mesis. The Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin Sanhedrin, the Adra Mazmur, the major Rishonim, if you ever learn Masech Sanhedrin, because a lot of the classic Rishonim don't exist on Masech Sanhedrin. So the Adra Mazmur, Sanhedrin, Babas, we have in a few Masechs. The Adra Mazmur writes that there is a din of Mesis by the Nachash. The Nachash doesn't have a din of Mesis Avod Zara, but he has a din of Mesis. Why? It's somewhat different, meaning the Adra Mazmur asks the same Kasha of Tosos. How could the Gemara say that a Nachash would have been putter if he were to just tie in a Divrei Rav, that he thought that Chava would never listen to him? Every Mesis is Chayiv, even though the Adra Mazmur says even stronger. I mean, the way Tosos says that a Mesis is Chayiv even if the person doesn't listen to you. For the act of being Mesis, you're Chayiv, even if the person is able to withstand your pressure and doesn't do the Avodah Zarah. So what kind of Taina? I didn't think they would listen. Good, they didn't listen. You're still a Mesis. So how could that pater him? So the Yad Ramah says that it's only by Mesis Avodah Zarah, where we say Lo Sachmo V'lo Schasa Lav, the Taina of Divrei Rav, the Divrei Talmud doesn't work. But some who's Mesis by something that's Eino Avodah Zarah, like the Nachash, would be pater with such a Taina. And the Chavis Yari explains in that same tshuva, in Simkov Samach Vav, to the Svara to be Mechalek, is that when someone is Mesis Avodah Zarah, what he's telling the Nisas is there is no Rav. Meaning, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin, when you're Mesis Avodah Zarah, you're erasing the Rav. You're saying that there is no Divrei Rav. There is no Ribbono Shel Olam that they have to listen to. Whereas a Mesis for Shari Surim says, look, we're all bought into the same system. There is a God and he does have Tzivui, but don't do this one. So that's a situation of Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin. So that's where you're going to have such a Taina. So now, the Rav Moshe clearly understands that the Mesis of the Nachash HaKadmoni was not Lavo Dezara. Rav Moshe says it explicitly, that the Raya that you have Mesis, Bishar Kali Surim, is from the Gemara about the Nachash. So it could be that one could paskin like Rav Moshe, but love me taimei. It could be that there's no din of Mesis by Shari Surim, but the Nachash HaKadmoni, and the Nachash HaKadmoni is not Mamish Avodah Zarah, but there's still a din of Mesis by the Nachash HaKadmoni, even by traveling in cars on Shabbos. Because sometimes you find an Isser, and this is what Gabe was talking about in his question, there's this third possibility, that sometimes you can find something, meaning, so let's just be clear, up until now we've had two possibilities. Possibility number one is that Mesis applies to Kala Torah Kula, and that's why to all Isurim, and that's why there's such a din of Mesis by Nachash. The other possibility is, no, it's only for Avodah Zarah, and that's why the Nachash must have been an Avodah Zarah situation. There is a third possibility. Maybe it's only for Avodah Zarah, and the Nachash is not an Avodah Zarah situation, and yet still he's going to have a din of a Mesis. How could that possibly be? That if there's only a din of Mesis for Avodah Zarah, and the Nachash is not an Avodah Zarah situation, so how could there be a din of Mesis by the Nachash? So it could run as follows. And by the way, the same for driving cars on Shabbos. Because it could be that even when something is not Avodah Zarah Mamish, when something represents all of Yiddishkeit, when something represents for that generation, in that tkufa in history, that's what Judaism is, that Avera will now be elevated to a status similar to Avodah Zarah. The most famous example, of course, Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Dalid, Ki Yosra Avdimi Yom Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shanu Ela Shelo B'Shas Hashmad. Avol B'Shas Hashmad Afilu Mitzvah Kala Yeharig Val Yavar. That B'Shas Hashmad, even the tiniest mitzvah is Yeharig Val Yavar. Ki Yosra Ravin Yom Rabbi Yochanan Afilu Shelo B'Shas Hashmad Lo Amra L'Bitzina. Avol B'Farhes Yafilu Mitzvah Kala Yeharig Val Yavar. That things will become Yeharig Val Yavar if it's either B'Shas Hashmad or if it's B'Farhes even Shelo B'Shas Hashmad. What is my mitzvah kala, says Gemara? Even to change the style of your shoelaces, your shoe straps, that from the Jewish style to the non-Jewish style, that's also considered a shas hashmad. If the yeshivish thing to do is to wear white shoes, which it was in the time of the Gemara, only the Goyim wore black shoes, but if the yeshivish thing to do is to wear white shoes, and it was the way of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, I'm not equating Judaism with yeshivishness, if the Jewish thing to do, let's put it that way, if the Jewish thing to do is to wear white shoes, and the non-Jews would wear black shoes. Show me the mitzvah in the Torah where it says what color you have to wear. That no, it's a tzura of a ben taira, that only ben taira wears a white shirt, and it doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. Ben taira wears a dafka borsalina. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah, right? So show me where in the Torah it says what kind of shoes you have to wear. I just saw David Bashefkin tweeted that that when I don't know what he showed up to a wedding without a hat, and the mashgiach of the yeshiva where he was learning at the time came over to him and said, "I'm not afraid you're going to go off the derech, but your children will go off the derech." Because he's not wearing a hat. So, okay, maybe. Hopefully not. I'm sure, you know. So, anyway, so that's one mahalich. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, tells us that a few oxes to Masana. So Rashi says, She'im derech anachrim likshar kach v'derech Yisrael b'inyan acher, if the goyim tie their shoes one way and Jews do it a different way, kigon sheyesh tzad yahadus b'davar v'derech Yisrael lios tznuim afilu shinoi zeh she'in kan mitzvah l'minig b'alma yekadish es Hashem b'fnei chaver v'Yisrael v'yifar hesya midaber b'Yisrael. So this is talking about in public in front of other Jews, if something represents Judaism, because that became the Jewish way, then it becomes Yaharig Val Yavar. That's, and he says, Rashi of course says Farhesia means in front of other Jews, doesn't mean in front of Gaim, but the point is that if that's the Tsanua way, to that Jews have a certain practice because that's considered more the Derech Tsnius, then that becomes Yaharig Val Yavar. So even something that's not a mitzvah at all, if it became a symbol of Yiddishkeit, it gets elevated to the status of Yaharig Val Yavar. Tosos Sanhedrin Samachal Vam Beis says that according to Ravo, holds that an Ovid Me'avo Miyira is Pater. Na'ovid Avodah Zarah, Me'avo Miyira is Pater, because he was never actually Mekabel the Avodah Zarah as a god. Me'avo Miyira means from Avin Yira of other people, that he loves his next door neighbor so much, and he wants to please him, and it will make his next door neighbor, the minister, so happy if he just, goes to church with him or whatever. So someone who's Oved Me'avo Miyira is Pater, because he doesn't really believe in it. He's not, the whole thing doesn't resonate with him. So how can you say that there's an isra of Yahari there's an inyan of Yaharig Val Yavar, a din of Yaharig Val Yavar by Avodah Zarah, even if you're Mishtachvel Tzelem, you were not Kibel Eloah, you didn't accept it as a god, so it's not really the Avera of Avodah Zarah. So then why can't you bow? Because you're not really doing Avodah Zarah. That's Kasha Tais raised in Sanhedrin Samech Aleph and Beis. So Rav Shechter in Nefesh HaRav on page Reish Lamed Beis quotes from Rav Soloveitchik to explain Tosa's answer, that what Tosa's answer is that even if the action that you're doing is mutter, but you have to be moser nefesh to not do what the anas wants you to do, what the person is trying to force you to do, wants you to do, because he's trying to get you to reject your religion, and therefore that maisa hishtachavaya, which is not avodah zarah, becomes like Avodah Zarah. It gets elevated to a sense of Avodah Zarah because to the people involved in that picture, it represents Judaism, and bowing will represent an abandonment of Judaism, even if really it's not Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Rav Shechter writes, Da'af de'kaimelon l'dina, Da'amir l'nachri mutra afilu b'yisadarais v'makom mitzvah d'rabim, even though we paskal na'alacha, that Amir l'akum on an yisadarais b'makom mitzvah d'rabim is mutter, meaning you can ask a guy to do an yisadarais if, let's say, the shul needs something, let's say, turning on the lights is an yisadarais on Shabbos, so you can ask the guy to turn on the lights for the shul on Shabbos directly, v'ashal pi yisod zeh nagu b'ktsas kilos b'shar ratzo, and therefore in certain places they set up a system where non-Jews drive a bus and Jews come to shul on Shabbos on that bus. He says we can't be matir something like that. You could have something that technically is mutter, but it's now become a symbol of the rejection of Torah Judaism. Obekula, either a rejection of Torah Judaism in its entirety, like Ovid Avodah Zarah Miyira, Obimaktsasa, or even just a partial rejection of Torah Judaism, kinesiya b'mechonet d'motobus b'Shabbos, like traveling by car and bus on Shabbos. Asher ne'epach b'medinaseinu l'semel reformim v'conservativim. In our country, it's become, meaning the definition, what's the difference between an Orthodox Jew and a conservative Jew? The parking lot is open in the conservative shul, the reform shul, and the parking lot is closed in the Orthodox shul. Driving to shul on Shabbos, at least at that tkufa in history, driving to shul on Shabbos was the symbol. It's what represented the difference between Judaism that's loyal to Torah mitzvos and one that is not loyal to Torah mitzvos. Because the conservative movement was matir for the sake of the mitzvah of Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it became a pula ha'asura. Let's see what the question was over here. Shouldn't this mean you can't drive on Shabbos to save a life? Yehari Val Yava, right? What page is the citation on? The citation of Nefesh HaRav was on, where is it? A page Reish Lamed Beis. Reish Lamed Beis in Nefesh HaRav. Reish Lamed Beis.
Thank you.
So I think Dafka driving to shul was the inyan that really separated the conservative movement, because the conservative movement did not come out with a heter to drive anywhere else. The tshuva that they wrote, I don't know if it was conservative reform, whoever wrote it first, but the tshuva that they wrote, they write tshuvas also, by the way. You should know, conservative Jews have tshuvas also. I was once in at a wedding in a conservative shul. They were davening mincha in the library. So I was looking through the books, and they had like volumes of tshuvas in English, not in Hebrew, but they had volumes of tshuvas about, whatever shailas faced the conservative movement. I wasn't particularly interested, but there was a whole tshuva on this topic. So that's what it was for. But everyone always agreed, Orthodox, conservative, reform alike, at that time at least, that you're not allowed to drive stam on Shabbos, just to drive to the beach. Maybe at some later point they came up with Onik Shabbos or whatever, but at that point that was not, and by the time that happened, that was no longer the sole defining line. So it's not Yehari Gval Yavi, you're allowed to go save a life. Rav Moshe also writes in a tshuva in Or Chaim Chelev Dalet Siman Samach Vav, just another example of this that came to mind. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about Jewish names, right? Are you allowed to give a child, meaning do you have to name your child, Ephraim or Yitzchak or Yoni, or can you name your child Jeremy or Elliot, right? Are you allowed to give names that are not inherently Jewish names, right? It's so easy to come up with examples as it's staring me right in the face. So are you allowed to give names that are not Jewish names? So Rav Moshe, in somewhat of a groundbreaking tshuva, says that, yeah, for sure. And he says, just look through Chazal. A lot of the Amoraim didn't have Jewish names, and there's no problem with it. We just celebrated the Yontif of Pesach, and we celebrated the loyalty of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shaloshinu Hashemam. It's one of the most famous non-existent midrashim. Shaloshinu Hashemam, Es Malbusham, Es Lashonam, the three things that we didn't change. It's three midrashim, meaning they're all midrashim somewhere, but there's no like medrash, I don't think, that puts them all together. But Chazal were Meshabeach Klal Yisrael and Vayikra Rabbah, that in Golus Mitzrayim we didn't change our names. So it says Rav Moshe, yeah, that's l'kodem matan Torah. Shlo haya heker gadol b'shvil kiyum ha-mitzvos to b'nei Noach. Meaning, how else would you differentiate a Jew from a non-Jew before matan Torah? There were no mitzvah. We only had seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, so that's not really going to differentiate anyone. And plus, shechela gadol mi'Yisrael avdu gam ken avodah zara. Many Jews were violating avodah zara. Halalu avdei avodah zara v'halalu avdei avodah zara. Right? That was the taina that the malachim had. V'rubal lo malu esbereyam. Most of us didn't do mila until right before the geula, when we needed to eat from the carbon Pesach. And so it sounds that a large majority, other than Shevet Levi, who did do Mila because of Brischi and Soru, but Birchas Moshe, and Rashi writes that even though Rashi says that it's talking about those who were Nolad B'Midbar, it was also Mitzrayim. It's Mefurish and Midrashim like that. So Bishvil HaEmuna, says Rav Moshe, Sheyigalu, V'ratzu Sheyonu Karim Shem Yisrael. The only way to distinguish us as Jews was Hinhi. to not change our names and not change our language. And that's why it relates to Gula, because we were makbid to remain Jewish, to have some identity as a Jew, because we thought that there was a destiny for the Jewish people. But after Matan Torah came, there's no chiyuv medina, and not even in, he says, v'gam lo mein yanei zihirus u'musar. It's not even an issue of zihirus and musar. Elamashin it's tavinu atariag mitzvah sedoros v'amitzvah shen stavu l'sha'a v'ishnemru b'torosh malpeh. What do we have, l'doros? What do we have? We have mitzvahs. So we have to observe those mitzvahs. And that's why, lo ikpidu al zeh rabbeinu, that's why even Chazal were not careful about this. Because even as a zihirus and musar. So that's what Moshe says. What's he telling us? That for that generation, changing your name became everything. Even though it wasn't really anything. I mean, it's not really something for us. But it became everything, because it's all there was. So depending on the tkufa within which you live, something that's not really, that doesn't really rise to that level of importance, is granted chashivus because of what it represents. So it could be that you could pass like Rav Moshe v'lav mitayme. You could pass like Rav Moshe that you're not allowed to invite the fellow to shul if you know that he's going to drive, but not because driving, not because Mesis applies to Shari Surim Shebet Torah, and you could still hold that it's us. You don't have to say like the other poskim that Nachash is a case of Avodah Zarah, or anything that's not Avodah Zarah is not going to be a Mesis. No, you could say that this becomes a Mesis for that generation, and Dafka driving on Shabbos or driving to shul becomes like an Avodah Zarah. Clearly, that is not what Rav Moshe says, right? That's not what Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe says that it's a mesis, and the mesis applies to Shari Surin. But I'm just suggesting maybe a third possibility. Nafkamina between what Rav Moshe says and this third possibility is, what if you invite him to your house, which is really our topic, right? What if you don't invite him to shul? Yeah, you invite him to your house for a meal. So that was not a symbol of conservative Judaism and Reform Judaism, but it is a mesis for Shari Surim, if you hold that there is such a thing as mesis l'Shari Surim. So that's one point that Rav Moshe makes. The other point Rav Moshe makes is about Lifnei Iver. He says that in addition to mesis, there's an issue of Lifnei Iver. So Lifnei Iver on a Daraisa level, as we're very familiar with the sugya in the first paragraph of Avodah Zarah, is only when it's Trei Avri Dinara. Only when the Gemara asks, Minayin Shlo Yoshir Adam Kos Shal Yayin L'Nazir, how do I know you're not allowed to give wine to a Nazir? Ve'ev Min Achayil B'nei Nalach, Tamal Omar, V'lefnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. Ay, V'achad D'chi Lo Yavinu Le Shakli Ihu, V'kamer L'shem L'fnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. The guy could take it himself, and yet it's still L'fnei Iver. Hachum Eskin Adukai B'Trei Avri Dinara. No, he couldn't take it himself. You're enabling him to do the Aveira, and that's L'fnei Iver. Dekanami D'ktani Lo Yoshit, V'lo K'tani Lo Yitain Shema Mina. Says Gemara that we're very precise when we say don't be moshit kos yayin l'nazir, means he can't reach it on his own. It doesn't say lo yitain kos yayin l'nazir, where he can reach it on his own. So the Gemara makes this very famous chiluk between where he can do the Avera on his own, where it's not a violation of Lifnei Iver da'oraisa. Tosfos points out in Shabbos Tav Gimel Amud Aleph, it's still an Isser D'Rabbanan, a Mesayei De'over Avera, Gimel Amud Aleph in Shabbos, Tosfos points that out, and in the case where he can't do it on his own, where it's Mamish Lifnei Iver da'oraisa. L'chora, it would seem that this case, is it fair to call it Lifnei Iver? You're inviting them to come to shul, you know that they're going to drive. Do they have the ability to drive without your invitation? Of course they do. So one would imagine that this would not be Lifnei Iver Daraisa. And it could be, one could argue, it's not even Lifnei Iver Midrabanan. Because the Shach famously comments in Yardei Simon Kuf Nun Aleph Siv Katan Vav. This is this Shach Dagum Ravava combination is one of the most important marimakomos for Rabbanim to know. You have to pull this one out all the time. There are shailas that come up relating to relying on the Shachem Yishno. Gedolei Aposkim of our generation have different attitudes about how much we accept this Shach Daglam Ravava. But the Shach writes in Kuf Nun Aleph Sivkat and Vav, he asks a stira in Tosos and a stira in the Rush. That on the one hand, Tosos writes in Shabbos and Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Rush writes also in the first parak of Masecha Shabbos, that there's an issur d'rabbanan on chad avra d'nara, that if the person is able to do the avera without your help, it's still an issur d'rabbanan to help him. Yet Tosfos Maseches Chagiga says that it's mutar lahoshit davar asur to a mumar on charav dinara. That if a mumar asks you for something that for a dvar iser and he's able to do it himself, it's mutar to give it to him because he's able to do it himself anyway. So it's a stira in Tosfos. The Rush has the same stira. So the Shach points out you can't really ask a stira in Tosfos because it's different bali at Tosfos, so it could just be a ma. But the Rush was all offered by one person, right? So you could ask a stira in the Rush. So it's a good kasha, right? Says the Shach, I have a real kasha over here. So says the Shach, Aval v'yani is daiti nira de lo pligi. De kuli al mamodim la mordechai v'tos perakam de ba'ovid chavim amumar shori. V'agos mordechai v'tos harash perakam de Shabbos v'aran perakam davul z'chavim mairi b'Yisrael. Shu chayiv lafrisho m'yisr. A big difference between a goy and a mumar on the one hand and a Jew on the other hand. The Isser Daraisa of the Fnever, it's Mefurish in the Gemara, applies even to a non-Jew, right? If you Eivir Menachai Lebnei Noach, that's clear, it's Mefurish in the Gemara. But the Isser Derabbanan of Mesei Deov Ravera only applies to a Jew and not even to a Mumar. And the fundamental difference, says the Shach, is that there's no mitzvah lahafrisho. Misaye is based on the requirement that you have to be mafrishim from the Isser. So there is no such requirement when it comes to mumar and when it comes to an ovid chavim. So there's no Isser of chadav dinara by a mumar. So what's the svara? So the Dugam Ravava elaborates a little further on the svara. He says, wait a second, a mumar? You know, I understand, if you wanted to draw a distinction between a guy and a Jew, okay, you know, that's a fair distinction to make. But a mumar, afal pisha chata Yisrael hu, a person does averus no matter how many averus. He's still a Jew, even if he does averus. So why should it be any different than any other Jew as far as being mafreshim from those averus? So he says, avu nir leni yastaiti kavanas hashach. He says, I think what the Shach means is as follows. Da'af bi Yisrael ein mitzuvan lafrisho ki'im kisha over bishogeg. The only time you have to be mafresh, and this is the great chiddush, this is where the Dagom Ravava's taich of the Shach plays a huge role. He says, it's not about being a mumar. It's about the fact that the guy's not doing this bishogeg, he's doing it b'mezid. The whole idea of mitzuvah lafrisho is a person's about to do an avera bishogeg. So you have the ability to be mafresh from that iser. You have to do that, just like a katan ochel nevelos, where the katan, by definition, is a shogeg. And the Mishnah in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos is about a shogeg. That's what Rashi sounds like, a Shabbos daf gimel lamed aleph, dibur maschil paturi dasi. And he says, ayin sham. But a Yisrael who wants to do an avera b'mezid, whatever avera it is, even if the Yisrael is not really a mumar, he just wants to do this avera b'mezid, but he's normally a Shomer Shabbos and he keeps kosher and he Shomer Taras HaMishpach and everything else. But he just really wants to do this avera. A Yisrael Acher is not mitzvah lafrisho according to the Shach. When the Shach says mumar dinakat Shach, who mishum shaposkim b'mumar shapsukim b'mumar dibru mumar mustam amezidu, that poskim rather b'mumar dibru, that they spoke about a mumar, and a mumar is a classic example of someone who's always b'mezid. And anyway, vote the kol over aver b'mezid yikra mumar lo sadaver. If someone's doing an aver b'mezid at that moment, he's a mumar lo sadaver. Whoa, so that's a huge, huge kula, says the Dagom Ravava. Anytime that a person is doing an avera b'mezid, there is no, and he could do the avera without your help, then there is not even an issur d'rabbanan. So you're inviting someone to come to the shulah, to come to your house. He's going to come driving a car on Shabbos. He's doing it b'mezid. He doesn't care about driving. And he could take a drive all day long if he wants. He doesn't need your help to drive his own car. So maybe it shouldn't even be a situation of lifnei midrabanan. So it's somewhat of a chiddush for Rav Moshe to suggest that it's a violation of lifnei iver. I wrote in my second sefer that Rav Shlomo Zalman in Minchas Shlomo Chelek Aleph Sim Lamed Hey discusses. I have a whole piece on giving food to someone who's not going to recite a bracha. So Rav Shlomo Zalman in that context writes that if you're being matzil him from a greater michshal, then it's also not lifnei iver. Meaning the case over there is that if you don't offer some food to the person, you have a very chashuva person coming, a very chashuva non-religious person coming to your house. If you don't even have the basic derech eretz of offering him a drink, so it's going to cause a tremendous sinas hadas. It's going to cause a tremendous hatred for religious Jews. So yeah, it's going to be lifnei iver to give him a drink because he's not going to recite a bracha. But which is a bigger lifnei iver? That he's not going to recite a bracha, that he's going to hate religion and all religious Jews. So you go with the smaller of the two lifnei ivers. So maybe over here also, maybe that's another tine over here. You're going to invite him for a Shabbos Suda. So what's the other option? The other option is that he goes to the beach on Shabbos. He goes to the mall. He watches football all day. Whatever it is, it's going to be many, many more isurim. He's going to be changing the channel every time he hits the button. He's going to be changing the channel on the television. He's going to be clicking on the internet. So every action he does is going to be a violation of Shabbos. Whereas if you get him in your house for 2 hours, in those 2 hours he's not going to be mechal Shabbos. In those 2 hours he's going to behave. When in Rome, he's going to act in a proper way. So it's not a ma'isa hachshala, says Rav Shlomo Zalman. It's a ma'isa hatzala. Rav Asher Weiss doesn't like that formulation, that it's not a ma'isa hachshala, it's a ma'isa hatzala. Rav Asher Weiss prefers a formulation that it is a ma'isa hachshala, but it's a lesser ma'isa hachshala, and you're allowed to do such a ma'isa hachshala. You're allowed to be machshil in certain circumstances, and that would be such a circumstance where you're allowed to be machshil. That's where Rav Asher writes in a tshuva Nuchas Asher Chelek Gimel Simin Pei Beis Os Ches, that it's not mistaver to say that it's a ma'isa hachshala, because if the aveira is not mezumenes lefaneinu, you can't say that you're saving him from the aveira, right? Meaning it's not like he has this iser. Of by the case of giving to drink, that he has this iser of hating religion, and you're being matzalim from that iser. No, you just might have been the cause for that iser, but not that you're being matzalim. It's not there. The iser's not there. You could argue that even Rav Asher Weiss would say, in our case, it is a ma'isa hatzala, because the iser is there. All these isuri Shabbos are there in his house for the entirety of Shabbos, and you actually are being matzalim from this iser. And Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav on page Kufay and Gimel as well. Rav Shechter writes, "Kshi Yehuda mechale Shabbos nosim berechev, v'net sarim lishal me itanu haraos nesia." Very common. You're walking to shul, and someone pulls over the car and asks for directions. So when that happens in Washington Heights, you don't have to worry, because it's usually not a Jew that's pulling over to ask for directions. I remember when we first, when my family first moved to the Five Towns, this would happen every single Shabbos. At that time, the Five Towns was not, right now, the overwhelming majority of people here are Shomrei Shabbos. At that time, that was not the case. And almost every Shabbos, we had a long walk to shul. We walked about a mile to shul. So when my father and I were walking, all the time, people would stop and ask for directions. So we were always told, I don't know who my father asked the shaila to, but we were always told to not give directions, because it's going to be lifnei iver. So not to be mean about it, not to say shegetz and start throwing rocks at the car or anything, but just say, sorry, I can't tell you that. Meaning, which tarti mashma, right? I can't tell you that. He understands that you're saying I don't know, and but you're saying no, I can't. I know it's like two blocks away, but I can't tell you that. But Rav Salvechik held that you do give directions. Why? So he says, Rabbi mishtamtim lahagalem b'chashrim sheyesh b'zem mishum lifnei iver. A lot of people won't give directions because they think it's a violation of lifnei iver, that you're aiding them in their travel. Rabbeinu Hayisav Lahevich, Rav Salvechik held the opposite. Shem lo yedu as haderech hanachona yistovavu berchovos ir odio sarah mitzvachlam. Meaning that they're just going to wander around more, and they're going to drive around more if you don't tell them. They're going to be mechal Shabbos more. So by telling them, it's going to bring about less chil Shabbos. So as much as you're able to limit the chil Shabbos, that the better off you are as far as lifnei iver is concerned. So that's the chiddush Rav Moshe has, that this is lifnei iver, even though in all likelihood the net amount of chil Shabbos is being minimized by inviting them. Now it could be Rav Moshe was talking about a case where the parents were dropping off the children for shul. So the parents were still going to do all the chil Shabbos, and they weren't coming to shul. They were just dropping off the kids for shul. So the ones who were actually being mechal Shabbos are the parents, and there was no upside as far as the parents are concerned. But Rav Moshe is widely quoted, even by Talmidim of Rav Moshe, that the same would apply about inviting people for meals. So apparently, at least the impression people get from Rav Moshe is that even if the net result is a gain in Shmirah Shabbos and not a loss in Shmirah Shabbos, that it's still going to be Aser. There is what to be done over here. I think Rabbi Jachter pointed out, if I recall correctly, that there seems to be a stira in Rav Moshe, because in Or HaChaim Chelek Dalet Siman Ayin Tes, Rav Moshe talks about a doctor who a resident who has an assignment to be working on Shabbos, and whether he should switch with other doctors. So if you could switch with a guy and have the guy work on Shabbos, you'll work on Sunday. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. What if the only people to switch with are non-Shomrei Torah mitzvos? Very, very common question. So he writes, Ube'etzem, Af im rof im Yehudim she'en shomrei Torah she'rotzim gam kin yosu liyosham Shabbos miyom rishon. A lot of times people would rather have Sunday off than Saturday off. Yesh ofen ha'mutar mamish. There's a way to do it. Haynu sherovei ha'shomrei Torah yishtadel eitzal mamunim al zeh bebeis ha'cholim she'osu yushum tamad liyom ha'alef b'Shabbos she'af she'bishvil zeh yomurchach b'imleka harbe nachrim she'yushum zmanu liyom ha'Shabbos Yehudi acher af she'gam ha'acherim im shomrei Torah rak kilifnei delifnei delom ha'fak dinan. So he says, first eitzah is don't deal directly, don't switch. Speak to the people who make the schedule and say, I'm volunteering for every single Sunday. So, you know, it's a pretty chashuva volunteering. Most people want Sunday off. I'm volunteering every single Sunday. You know that the only way he could make that work is by putting other Jews on call on Shabbos, but or having to work on Shabbos, but that's only lifnei delifnei. He says certainly if there are goyim around that might be working in your place. And he says v'yesh gam tam gadol hatir afim yehudim she'enam shomrei Torah. He says, and then he goes a step further, and maybe you could even switch. Maybe you could even switch for even Jews who are not Shomri Torah. Shagam shekshayishru bebeisam yichalu Shabbos bemezid b'chol malachos she'iz damin lo pachos me'amlach she'yasav beis ha'chol be'isir. How much Chilul Shabbos do you think they're going to be doing anyway? They're going to be at home doing Chilul Shabbos the whole day anyway. So you're not causing them to do any more Chilul Shabbos. So that's not lifneiver by switching your shift with them. And Yosir notesh hufchasu. You're probably saving them. Ki yesh harbe cholim shemuter. There are a lot of cholim sheyesh b'sakana that there are a lot of mechal Shabbos for. And there are lots of that are only midrabanan. Lots of the mocks that are only going to be midrabanan. And most of what the guy would do in his house. This is a malacha d'oraisa. So says Rav Moshe, we do the math. We do the math of relative lifnei. Are you saving him or helping him? We do all that math. So Rav Moshe writes that even though at the beginning he makes the whole lifnei, but in the end he says we're willing to say that that in the end of the day, if you're saving him from Chilul Shabbos, that's permissible. So it's a little bit strange that Rav Moshe didn't think of that when it comes to inviting someone for a Shabbos meal, right? Why don't we say let's do the math? And in the end of the day, he's going to do a lot worse and a lot more at home. So it could be that by the doctor, the difference is that now which he's going to do at home is more chamur, because of what most of what he does in the hospital are not really isurim chamurim. And like Rav Moshe said, it's pikuach nefesh. By going to shul, he's driving the whole way. And every single time you drive, it's nisa d'oraisa. Every single time you hit the gas pedal, it's nisa d'oraisa of havara. In his house, what's he going to do already? In his house, he's going to, you know, he's going to turn on a few lights. You know, most of what he's going to do, and nowadays that's probably only drabanan, most of what he's going to do is probably only midrabanan. So maybe that's a chilek, but that's not Rav Moshe's chilek. It doesn't seem that's Rav Moshe's, because Rav Moshe Dafka in the tshuva about the doctor said most of what he does at home is d'oraisa. So it's not abundantly clear what Rav Moshe's chilek is, unless you say Rav Moshe wasn't talking about inviting someone to a meal. Maybe the chilek that we said before, he was talking about inviting someone to shul, inviting kids to shul, where the father is going to be dropping the kid off. So you're not really saving the father from any issue. What questions did someone put here? There are organizations who use the Rav Moshe Tshuva as a basis for allowing Bali Tshuva to travel via subway to reach the meal they're invited to. As Rabbi said, that would be inconsistent. the use of Moshe's tshuva to allow traveling via, meaning the doctor tshuva they use? Yitzchak, where are you? There you are.
Not the tshuva, but I just know that there are certain like tshuva organizations in the city who have some repute who do allow, who do
Oh,
promote.
okay. We've only gotten through Rav Moshe so far. I mean, we're not going to get much further because I didn't realize how. But we've only gotten through Rav Moshe so far. There are other shittos. There are definitely other shittos. By the way, Rav Moshe's assumption that if you switch with a non-Shomer Shabbos person, and then that non-Shomer Shabbos person is engaged in pikuach nefesh all day, even though he's doing malachos, that he's not violating any avera because it's pikuach nefesh. That assumption is not agreed upon by everybody. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Perek Lamed Beis Halacha Mem Hei writes, or Rav Neubert writes, Shamati Me'agur Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. That given the option of having a Jew do malachos for pikuach nefesh, or a shomer Shabbos doing malachos for pikuach nefesh, or a non-shomer Shabbos doing malachos for pikuach nefesh, it's better to have it be done by a shomer mitzvos. Ki kavanosa lemitzvah. Ki al yidei avaryan asher kavanosa rak avor betza kesef. He says because it's taka avera for the other person. It's like he's having kavana to do an avera. He's not having kavana to do a mitzvah at all, and therefore it's a violation of lifnei iver because you're enabling him to do that which in his mind he is not doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. And he's actually doing it. It's not even all biyado basar tle. He's really doing chil Shabbos. He says it could be that the whole idea that you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh is only when that's your motivation. But if your motivation is to collect a paycheck, then it won't work. One could argue that a doctor's primary motivation, certainly as a resident, is to save lives, and that's why he went through 15 years of schooling. If he really wanted to make a lot of money, he could have done something else that didn't require all that training and going into hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt or whatever. But that's where Shlomo Zalman Tainas, that he's doing it primarily for payment, and therefore it could be that it is an act of Chil Shabbos. Rav Moshe assumes that no, if it's Pikuach Nefesh, then it's not an act of Chil Shabbos. So anyway, so this is. This is Rav Meisha Shita and what there is to be done in Shitas Rav Meisha. What we didn't get to, maybe we'll do tomorrow if you guys want to, otherwise we'll move to a different topic, is Rav Sturmbach, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Salvechik, and different Eitzos to potentially be maker. The meat of the sugi is really in Rav Meisha, because he's the one that really took the stand about Mesis and about Lifnei Iver. But everyone have a wonderful day, happy Chazaring, and look forward to the Bechina on Sunday. Right, take care,
everyone. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.